Some of you may want to trade your sorrows right now. There are 180 seats back in this air-conditioned room. You can trade some sorrow and head right back there. There are some spots up in here, one, two, if you want to try to grab a spot up here. If you're hot now, boy, it's going to get hotter. I almost had to change my message to one on hell. That's how hot it was out there. Grab your Bible, open up with me to John chapter 17. I'll try to keep this brief. If you want a Bible, if you didn't bring a Bible, you can raise your hands. We do have some Bibles that we can put in your hand. You can take them home if you want or return them to us. Keep your hands up, they'll get one to you. John 17, when you have a Bible. John 17, verse 11. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through your own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. Then down to verse 21. That they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you have sent me. Then verse 23. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you loved me. Father, we thank you for this time to hear from you. We pray that we would have ears to hear what you would want to speak to Edgewater Christian Fellowship this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. I got a phone call on Friday from a good friend of mine. He's a pastor of a... Don't walk over those cords. He's a pastor of a thriving church. He's an excellent Bible teacher. But he's also a real character. He was teaching at a Bible college for a while. And when he was teaching at this Bible college, he went over to the house of a couple of students that I know. And when he was there, he excused himself and went into their bathroom, unscrewed their shower head, took out a bunch of beef bouillon cubes. You know the ones you make pork roast out of? Shoved them up into the hole and screwed the shower head back on. So these guys, for the next 2 weeks, went around smelling like J.J. North's Grand Buffet. He's a character. It amazes me who God allows to be pastors. Practical jokers. Me. Bucky Buckstabber. But in our conversation, he said something that I haven't been able to get out of my mind. I've been thinking about it a lot. He had just gone to a very large pastor's conference. And at that pastor's conference, one of the speakers, internationally known speaker, pastor of a large church, was talking, and he ended up talking about Rick Warren. Perhaps you've heard of him. Writer of The Purpose-Driven Life, 25 million copies sold. And it became apparent very quickly to my friend that this speaker did not like Rick Warren. And that's okay, that's his prerogative. But during his message to thousands of pastors, which will get out because of this internet age to probably hundreds of thousands of people will listen to it, during this message he called Rick Warren a punk. And when my friend told me this, it grieved me. One brother, one pastor, referring to another pastor as a punk. I don't think that's right. Not only do I believe it grieves me, but I believe it grieves Jesus Christ. This prayer, John chapter 17, the high priestly prayer of Jesus Christ, over and over and over again, he says, that they may be one. That's his desire. I want my church to be one, he would say. I want them to be one. Now, a pastor calling another pastor a punk is not in line with unity. It's not in line with oneness. I believe it grieves Jesus Christ. Unity, Matt, I hear that. What does that mean? What does it mean to be unified? What does unity mean? Well, unity does not mean conformity. Unity does not mean conformity, that we all have to believe the same thing. Good, Matt, because there's no way I'm getting into that snake handling thing. It's not going to go there. Unity does not mean conformity. Jesus never prays that we would all agree on the same thing, that we'd all have the same doctrine, that we'd all worship the same. He doesn't say that. Unity does not mean conformity. I have a family, brother and a sister, uncles. We're one family, there's no doubt about it. But you know what? I have disagreements with my brothers, with my sister, with my family. I disagree at times with them. But that does not change the fact that I'm still their family. Unity does not mean conformity. Jesus doesn't pray that we'll agree. He says, I want to be one. So what does unity mean? It means this. If you're part of God's family, how do you know if you're part of God's family? You believe in Jesus Christ, that he is God the Son. You believe that he came to die for sinners, which you are. You believe in the biblical definition of sin, not the one that changes all the time with society, what the Bible defines as sin. And you say, I'm a sinner. I need someone to pay for that sin that I've done. And you accept the work that Jesus did for you on Calvary 2,000 years ago. And that he proved that he was God because he was buried and he rose again. That's what it means. You believe that? You're of the family of God. And if you're of God's family, he says, I want you to be unified. I want you to be one. And it means this. You don't have to agree on everything doctrinally, the way you worship. It doesn't mean you have to agree on everything, but it means this, you have to love one another. John 15, Jesus says, this is my commandment, singular, that you love one another. That's what it means. Calling a pastor a punk, to me, that's not in line with love. We have to give respect to other people's ideas and their opinions. We may agree to disagree with them, like you do with your family, but you still have to love them. I love you. I don't agree with you, but I love you. That's what is commanded by Jesus Christ. You have to love. Don't have to agree. You have to love. See, we're all part of the same body, but we're not all the same body part. We're all part of the same body, the body of Christ, but we're different parts of that body. And we're going to express Jesus Christ in a little different way here at Edgewater Christian Fellowship than some other churches are. And that's fine, because we're not the same body part. And Jesus, I believe, has created us and designed us to express Jesus in a certain way. Well, Matt, why is unity important? Why? Well, three things to take note of. One in each of those verses, and I'll be as quick as I can. Three things to take note of why unity is important. Why, as Paul would say, that we should endeavor, Ephesians chapter 4, to keep the unity of the Spirit. Why? Three reasons. Number one, we see in verse 10. I'm no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father, that you would keep through your own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one. Keep. The reason unity is important, number one, is it protects the church body. It protects the church body. God the Father absolutely protects us, Jesus would say. But I believe it's more than that. It's more than that. It's Jesus in me protects you. Every person that's a believer is having a positive effect on the community, the neighborhood in which they live. What do you mean, Matt? Write it down for your own notes. Too hot to look there. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. Paul talks about this coming evil, bad dude that's coming. But in verse 6, he says, there's this force that is withholding him. And in verse 7, he says, he is letting, not letting as in he's letting him do it, but it's that tennis term, old King James term, where you hit the ball and it hits the net and it's driven off course and it's called a let. It's that word. There's a force that is taking the enemy off course right now. It's apparent there in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. What is that for us? It's God's Spirit in believers. There is protection that comes to you and comes to me from those that are believers in this church, in every church, in every person that's part of the body of Christ. It's having a righteous effect on society. It's a little bit like a skit I saw a number of years ago. It was with Chevy Chase. He dies, he goes to heaven. And in heaven, he starts talking with his guardian angel and asks him, "Tell me the worst thing I've ever eaten." And so his guardian angel says, "You can't handle that." "All right. Tell me the 10th worst thing I've ever eaten." "No, you can't handle that either." "Well, what can I handle?" The angel says, "The 171st worst thing you've ever eaten." "Okay, what was it?" He said, "Remember when you were at Aunt May's house and you were eating that burrito? And you commented, 'Boy, these are funny tasting beans.'" He goes, "Yeah, I remember that." He said, "Well, those weren't refried beans. Those were mashed earwigs." And so, Chevy, "Oh my goodness." And then the guardian angel is asked by Chevy Chase, "What's the biggest mistake I made?" "You can't handle that either." "Okay, what can I handle?" "You can handle the 256th worst mistake you made." "What was that?" "Remember you with your son digging in the beach? And you're digging down with your hands and you hit something hard and it shoved sand underneath your fingernails and you're really mad about that. And your son said, 'That's buried treasure, Dad.' And you said, 'No way, it's just a rock.' And you walked away. It was buried treasure." I think when we get to heaven, we're going to find out, Matt, because of the prayers of those people in that body down the road from you, you were protected. Because a guy, there was a murderer headed your way, Matt. He was coming to murder you. But this man picked him up hitchhiking, shared the gospel with him, converted him, made a believer out of him, and he didn't want to murder you after that. I believe we're going to find out stuff like that. That we have been protected because of the work of God through all of his saints. And you know what? I pray for other churches now. Lord, bless that church. Because the people they're saving, the work they're doing, is securing society for my kids. It's doing good over there. I don't agree with them always, but I'll love them and I'll pray for them. Because I know God is using them to protect me and to protect my kids. Number one, why we should endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit. Remember that because they're protecting you. And when we forget that and start attacking other churches, I believe we open ourselves up to the enemy. That withholding force, that's withstanding the enemy, the forces are taken down. And the enemy is allowed more access. You endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit, Paul would say. Number one, because it protects the body. Number two, verse 21. "That they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee. That they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me." Number two, not only does it protect the church body, but number two, it provides a clear witness. "That they might be one," Jesus says, "that the world may believe that I came from you." There's a clear witness to the world when we're unified. I believe the worst, ugliest sin in the world is domestic violence. A family that should be loving one another, caring for one another, looking out for others, all of a sudden turns on itself and begins to bite and devour itself. It's ugly. It's wrong. Yet that happens so much in the body of Christ. One church attacks another church. One church calls a guy a punk. This church attacks that. It's wrong. It's wrong. There's no witness to the world in that. And it's ruining a very powerful witness. I found out how powerful witness unity is when I volunteered for a while at Wilderness Trails. I ended up working with Jack Straw. He's on leadership here. He was on staff there for a while. Wonderful ministry, if you want to get involved. They take these young kids, and you take them out on these trail trips, and you get them alone for 6 days, and you're able to minister to them. You get youngsters and take them up to the camp up by Howard Prairie, and you get to share the love of God with them. It's an awesome ministry. Wonderful. But these kids are troubled. There's no doubt about it. Chris Smith, the director, shared with me a story once. He said he had a group of 9 and 10-year-olds up there. And this is how troubled these kids are. And he heard two of them having this animated discussion. So he kind of went over to hear, "What are you guys talking about?" Well, one of the kids had found a knife. And he was checking out this knife. He was really excited about this knife. And the other kid was like, "Hey, can I have that knife?" And the kid's like, "No way, man, I found it." 9-year-olds. And so the second kid said, hey, I'll trade you a condom for it. This is a 9-year-old. Trade you a condom for it. I mean, troubled kids. But what I found was a theme at Wilderness Trails is this. You'd get 15 adults together, all kinds of denominations, legalistic denominations, graceful denominations, stoic denominations, charismatic denominations. You know, we were from many different denominations. 15 of us together for 5 days. And inevitably, the kids would say this, we can't believe you guys have got along for this long. There's been no fights. There's been no arguments. We're waiting for WWF to break out. Because that's what they see from their parents, from those adults that they're around. Arguments and fighting. But they were amazed that you guys could be unified. And kids would come to salvation simply by seeing 15 guys from different denominations get along for 5 days. I wonder how often salvation is delayed. How often we promote the enemy's plan because of our division. How our witness is ruined. Jesus says that they may be one. That they may be one so others would believe, so it would provide a clear witness. There's a witness in us getting along. Doesn't mean you have to agree with everything. It means that you have to love one another. Thirdly, we're almost done here. Hang in with me. Verse 23. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me, and you have loved me, and you have loved them as thou hast loved me. Thirdly, finally, to perfect his people. Provides, no doubt, protects his people, provides a clear witness, and thirdly, to perfect his people. To complete, literally. It could mean, Jesus is saying, that there's going to be a final sinner who's saved. And when that happens, the body of Christ is completed. I'm glad for those that get saved here at Edgewater, and those that are getting saved at Calvary Chapel, and those that are getting saved at Parkway, and those that are getting saved at River Valley, and those that are getting saved at the Lutheran Church. I'm glad for that because it's completing his body. And without that, we'd be here a lot longer in the sun. There's a completing, but I also believe personally, not just corporately in the church, but personally in my life, there's a completing that takes place from other churches. See, I've gone to many churches in my life. I've gone to legalistic churches and very graceful churches. I've gone to very charismatic churches and very stoic churches. And each one of them has left a mark on me, has furthered me in my walk. Jesus Christ in Matthew 7 kind of compares ministries, compares people, churches I would even say, to fruit trees. He says, you'll know if it's a good ministry if there's good fruit coming from it. If there is kingdom fruit coming from a ministry, I'm not going to attack it. In fact, I'm going to enjoy the fruit from it. I'm going to learn from it so that I might be completed. Lord, you're doing a great work over there. What's happening? I want to find out so that I can be completed to a greater degree. I can learn from what you're doing over there with them. So, Matt, do you listen to everybody? No way. There's some fruit that I try to say, oh, that's not ripe. That's fruity. That's not for me. That's not the way God has built me. But you know what? Even if that is so, I still pray for that ministry. I still pray for what God's doing there because I'm very glad God has provided a place for people like that. Or they'd be here with us. God bless you. You know, God's using you, and I pray that God builds you and completes you there because that's the way you're built. God has us here because we say this is the best to fry in the sun. We say, yeah, we love this. Maybe not. Unity. Endeavor to keep the bond of unity. Why? Because it protects the body. Because it provides a clear witness to this world. And thirdly, because it will perfect the saints. It's huge. And it's huge for me. Because as you know, I've gone through a bit of difficulty in the last couple of months. It's been a tough time. And I'm so appreciative of this body, Edgewater Christian Fellowship, during this time. You guys have blessed me. And you already know that. I've let you know. But what you may not know is what the other churches in this valley have done for me. The pastors sent me letters, flowers, emails, taking me to lunch. They've blessed me. They could have said, oh, he's not part of my body, so I don't have to worry about him. They could have said, well, we have doctrinal differences, so forget him. They didn't. They said, I'm commanded to love him. And he's struggling right now, so I'm going to do that. And it has protected me in a way that I believe only heaven can repay those guys. It has provided to me the best witness of the body of Christ I've ever experienced in my life. This is what the body is about. Wow, what a clear witness. And it has perfected me. It is completing this healing process that I'm going through, that those guys would pray for me, that they would stand by me, even though they could feel threatened by us, even though they could say we're doctrinally different than us. They haven't done that. They've said, I am commanded to love Matt, and they've done it. It's been a witness to my life. It's blessed me. And I pray that we could be like them, and we already are. They were kingdom-minded, not church-minded. Their loyalty was to Jesus Christ, not to a denomination. Let us at Edgewater Christian Fellowship say, our loyalty is to Jesus Christ. We don't care about denominations. We're loyal to Jesus Christ. If you're part of his body, then praise the Lord. We're going to love you. Let us be those that say, we're concerned with the kingdom of God, not just the church of Edgewater Christian Fellowship. We want to see his kingdom come, done through this body, through any body that God is truly working through. That's my prayer for us. And you guys are already doing it. You guys are already modeling that for me. Continue to do that. Let us never become denominationally minded, where it's all about us. It's all about this church or this fellowship. But rather, let us be those that are kingdom minded. Even more every day. Why? Because it's going to protect you. It's going to protect your kids in ways that only heaven can reveal. It provides the clearest witness to unbelievers that we could all get along. And thirdly, it's going to perfect you if God allows you. Enjoy what God does in other ministries. Take the good fruit that God is showing you in those and watch it perfect you. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Father, I thank you for this group and pray your blessing upon them this day, that they would enjoy you, enjoy your body, Lord, in its unity. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you guys. Thank you. Thank you.